The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Now I'm tired of folks going to sleep while I preach. I looked for my shillelagh. I couldn't find my shillelagh. But I found an axe head my grandpa made and gave to me. He made axe heads by the truckloads. I've had this axe head for a long time, never finished it. It's still rough. I got to get me a piece of broken glass and smooth it down. But I don't have a head to go on it anymore. So I just have the handle. Now, I'm telling you, if I see that I put you to sleep, I feel responsible for waking you up. I'm kidding. But I brought not my shillelagh, but my axe head. Because it features in a story. I brought my axe handle, not my axe head. Features in a story found in 2 Kings chapter 6. And if you've not yet opened your Bible there, I'll give you a moment to open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 6. There are, if you don't have a Bible, there's some in the backs of these pews, I know. I'm not sure where they're all scattered around, but if you need one, raise your hand, and I'll see if we can find you one and get it to you. Anybody? All right, 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll read verses 1 through 7, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. No matter what your translation is, you should be able to follow. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, the successor to the great prophet Elijah, "See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. So let's go to the Jordan," that's the river, "and each of us there get a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there." And he answered, "Go." And then one of them said, "Well, would you be pleased to go with your servants?" And he said, "I will." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man of God, that's referring to Elisha, said, "Where did it fall?" And when he showed him the place, he, Elisha, cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And the prophet said, "Take it up." So the student reached out his hand and took it. The school of the prophets had run out of room. Dormitories were full. They had others who wanted to come and study the great prophet Elisha. Learn from Elisha and learn from Elisha's God. But the facilities wouldn't hold everybody who flocked into the school. And so some of the students came to complain about the cramped quarters, and they announced their plans, a good plan, to build a roomier theological college. They said, "Why don't we all go down to the Jordan River where there are lots of trees, and each one of us will cut a tree and shape a log for the construction of a new school." Elisha said, "Well, it sounds like a plan to me. Yeah, it sounds like a real plan to me." So he approved the plan, and then they said, "Well, will you go with us?" And he said, "Certainly." So off they went, and the work began immediately. Now, in the story, as we read, one student had an accident. As he was swinging his axe vigorously, the iron head flew off of it and landed in the river, and that really upset him. Several reasons, I'm sure. Number one, he had borrowed that axe. It was a borrowed axe, and he knew he was going to have to return it in good shape. It also bothered him because it wouldn't be easy to replace an iron axe head. Iron was scarce, and it was expensive. And he didn't have money to buy an axe head in the first place or to buy an axe. That's why he borrowed one. Short of funds, and so he was upset because he wouldn't be able to return that axe in its good condition. And even if he could find one, he had no money to buy it. That's why he borrowed it. And I think he was also upset because there was a lot of work to be done. And all of his fellow students were working, and he wouldn't be able to contribute anything. They would be cutting the beams, felling the logs, shaping them up, and building the school. Without his axe head, he would have lost his usefulness. No cutting edge on his handle. And that's why I brought this axe handle today. Just think about that. You know, you got a nice axe handle, but you can't do much cutting without a cutting edge, can you? Without a head on that. Student was upset. He had a good handle, sturdy handle, very serviceable handle. But without an axe head, he was useless. Well, he immediately went to Elisha to tell him his sad story. And, you know, I'm surprised at how Elisha responded. If the student had come to me with the story, here's how I might have responded. I might have done one or two or three things. Number one, I might have lectured him about the proper care and use of axes. That's what teachers do, you know. And I was a teacher for 25 years, a pastor for 25 years. And that's what teachers do. Okay, I need to tell you how to properly care for and use an axe. And so he might have been subjected to a lecture about that. Had it been me the student had come to, I might have suggested that it's just not wise to borrow expensive tools. Look what you've done now. You've borrowed an expensive tool. You've ruined it. You're not going to be able to replace it. You're going to have to take it back and just suffer the consequences. Just don't borrow expensive tools. Had I been the one that he had come to with his problem, I might have just cautioned him, don't work so close to the water's edge, man. What in the world? If you've been back up away from the bank ways, the head would have flown off and it just landed in the dirt and you'd been able to pick it up. That's what I might have done. Now, you might have had better ideas than that, but I'm just trying to think, but what would I have said if the student had come to me? And that's pretty well what I would have said. But the prophet didn't do that. Elisha did none of those. He simply said to the student, show me where the axe head fell. Show me where it went in the water. Where is the place? Take me to the spot the head fell into the water. So he did. And we read a moment ago that the prophet cut a stick, threw it in the water, and that iron axe head floated to the top. Now, I got to stop there long enough to address that issue, because this is the kind of thing that drives Bible critics crazy. An iron axe head floated like wood on water. Drives them crazy. And for some reason, throughout my years of study, I've discovered that they all try to explain what really happened. Okay? This is what really happened. John Gray, for example, in his commentary on 2 Kings, says what happened was he got a long pole and shaped the end of it so it'd slide into the socket of the axe head, and then he poked around in the water with that long pole until he slid the pole into the hole in the axe head and lifted it out. That's what John Gray, one scholar, said in his commentary on 2 Kings. That's what really happened. Another scholar said, well, I have a disagreement there. What he did was he got him a long pole and just threw it in, and by accident, the end of the pole stuck in to the socket in the axe head, and he was able to lift out the axe head and give it back to the student. Well, a third scholar said, now look, what he really did was he tossed the pole in, and it stuck in the axe head by accident. When it floated back to the top, it brought the axe head with it. Didn't need the prophet. He just chunked it in and fortunately, stuck it through that hole. And a fourth scholar said, no, he didn't do any of those things. What he did was took a long pole and he raked around in the water until he finally pulled it over close to the bank. And the student was able to see it and retrieve it. Now, the only thing wrong with those explanations is they're wrong. It's the only thing wrong with them. They're just flat wrong. That's not what the text says. The book says the prophet threw in a branch and the axe head floated. The iron axe head floated. Now, I can't explain the mechanics of that. I don't know how it's possible. I don't know. But I believe the miracle. Can't explain the mechanics. I trust the book to tell me the truth. So I believe the miracle. Now, call me a fool if you like, but I believe that iron axe had actually floated. And when the student saw it, Elijah said, reach out your hand, get hold of it. He did, put it back on the handle, and the work commenced immediately. Now, that's the story as I read it. A foolish writer called this the most trivial of stories about Elisha. Get that? The most trivial of stories about the great prophet Elisha. Well, I must disagree with him. This story is not trivial. It illustrates a tremendous truth. You know what that truth is? The truth is that God cares about everything that touches your life. Nothing too small. God cares about every detail of your life. God cares about everything that comes into your life. That's just an iron axe head. But God cared about that and made that iron float. It wasn't just Elisha. It was God working through Elisha that made that iron float. John Newton, who wrote those amazing songs about grace, Amazing Grace. John Newton wrote this, not one concern of ours is small if we belong to him. To teach us this, the Lord of all once made the iron as well. Not one concern of ours is too small. Not one concern. Can you take comfort in that today? Can you just say amen or nod your head or do something? Yes, amen. Nothing that touches my life is too small to concern the Lord God who made us, who loves us, who saved us. Not one concern. But this trivial story, which I reject as being trivial, this trivial story also suggests some vital questions, and those are the ones I want to confront you with today. The first of those important questions is, have you lost your cutting edge? Have you, as that student, lost your cutting edge? When the head flew off, that student was left holding a shaft. That keen head with a cutting edge on it that had made him able to serve was gone. It didn't matter how strong or how sturdy that axe handle was, it couldn't cut any wood. I mean, you could hammer on a tree with that handle all day long. You don't cut it down. Work your best on the log. You won't shape it with an axe handle. The cutting edge is gone. The fellow knew how to use an axe. The student wanted to help, but losing the cutting edge meant he lost his power to serve. And you know what? He knew it immediately. He didn't have to swing that handle against a tree and jar his teeth good to figure out the cutting edge was gone. He knew immediately, instantly, when that head flew off and hit the water, my effectiveness is done. And you know what? Others knew too. No longer was the sound of his axe ringing. No longer were chips flying off in every direction. He had lost his effectiveness, lost his usefulness, and his colleagues knew it because they had to work harder to make up for his loss. The question is, have you lost your cutting edge? Some of you used to work for the Lord with great spiritual effectiveness. You had great power. The power of God rested on you. And you were able to serve him effectively. You led people to Christ. You taught boys and girls and confronted them with the claims of Christ. And they responded. And your effectiveness was great. But now you seem to be chopping without a blade. Do you sense that? If you've lost your spiritual power, if you've lost the power of God and the blessing of God on your life and your labor, you know it. Nobody has to tell you. You know it. And the truth is, everybody around you knows it too, because they have to work harder to make up for your loss of power. Have you lost your cutting edge? Can you be honest? You used to know the power of God and the blessing of God on your life and on your labor, the work that you did, the service you performed, but no longer. Have you lost your cutting edge? There's a second question that comes out of this story, and that is, where'd you lose it? Now, the young fella had an option. He could have just kept on swinging that handle and looking busy. That handle would have made a lot of noise. You heard it clack against my ring. He could have swung it, and it would have resounded. There had been lots of noise, but not much getting done, right? Not much effectiveness, no cutting edge. But he honestly faced his problem and went to Elisha with the story. Hey, man, I lost my axe head. All I got left is a handle. Well, where's your head? Well, it flew in the river. I don't know. The prophet said, where did you lose it? And the young fella took him to the place. Here's the spot, he said. This is the place where I lost it. Now, you know, deep down, every man, every woman who's lost their cutting edge knows where they lost it. And if I were to come to you today, if you confess I've lost my spiritual power with God, if I came to you with the question, where'd you lose it? You know. You know. Oh, axe heads lay lost in dozens of places. Some are swept away in strong currents of disobedience. You know, there are two words it's impossible to put together in the same sentence. No, Lord. How can you say no to your Lord? Either you say Lord and yes, or you say no, but you can't add Lord. Any person who says no, Lord, guess what? The head just slipped off their handle. You can't disobey God and expect to have power and effectiveness and a cutting edge in your service to Him. Other axe heads have dropped into the pool of sin. Could be secret sin. Nobody knows about it but you. Could be open sin. Everybody knows about it. But sin, one way or the other, strips the cutting edge from the handle, makes you ineffective in the service of God. Yeah, I think of Achan. You remember Achan? When they captured Jericho, he kept a little silver, a little gold. Remember that? Kept a wedge of gold, some silver coins, and the King James says, and a goodly Babylonish garment. Some real nice threads from Babylon. Took them into his tent, dug a hole, the floor of his tent, and hid them in there. Now, his family had to know, but nobody else in Israel knew. But when they went up against Ai, when the army marched against Ai, they went down a resounding defeat. Lots of people died when they tried to conquer Ai. Soundly defeated. Joshua asked God, why'd we lose? He said, there's sin in the camp. They ferreted it out, and they stoned Achan and his family for secret sin. Guess what? They could not conquer. The whole nation suffered because of the secret sin and lack of effectiveness and spiritual power on Achan's and his family. Some axe heads have sunk into the backwater of stale experience. You can't expect to live tomorrow on today's experience, or to live today on yesterday's spiritual experience. You need to stay fresh with God. You eat every day. You don't depend on what you ate on yesterday to give you energy and make you feel good today. You eat every day. You need fresh spiritual experience in the same way. You need to reach out to God. Talk to Him in prayer. Seek Him in the Bible. Be open to the Holy Spirit. You can't live on stale experiences, or you'll find that strips your cutting edge. You lose the head off the handle of your axe. Maybe it rests in the swampy bottom of hurt feelings and resentment. How many times people say things that hurt our feelings? They never knew they hurt your feeling, and if they knew, they wouldn't care. But it hurt you, and you chunked that in your heart and slammed the door on it, kept it there. You treasure it in your heart, and resentment builds up, and hurt feelings. Can I tell you, a root of bitterness will grow in that. There'll be a root of bitterness. The Bible talks about that. A root of bitterness that will strip the power from your service for God. You can't be bitter about stuff and resent stuff and refuse to forgive people and expect to have the power of God rest on you. You're going to be hammering around you with a handle, no head. The head will slip from your axe. Maybe it vanished into the swirling torrents of worry. Worry will take the edge off any axe. Spend your time worrying, the head will slip right off and leave you with just a handle. No power. Maybe it's lost in the polluted streams of false doctrine, of theological liberalism. And what I mean by that is, believe in stuff that ain't true. A lot of cults out there that will try to convince you of stuff you ain't never heard of before. Listen, what's new is probably not true. What's true is probably not new. It's the old paths. Come right out of the book. Right out of the book. Where'd you lose your power? If you don't have power of service that you used to have, the place to find that lost cutting edge is right where you lost it. You have to go to the place, and you know where it is. Go to the place and confess it, even if it shames you. Here's the third question. First one, have you lost your cutting edge? Second, where'd you lose it? And third, will you take it again? The student feared that his head was gone for good. I'm talking about the axe head. Was gone for good. I'll never be useful again. I've got a big problem. I have no power. I'll never be useful again. But the prophet cut a branch, threw it in the water at the place, the man pointed out, the head floated. What that young student thought was gone forever was not only within sight, it was within reach. There it is. Well, there it is, and I can reach it. And Elisha said, put forth a hand, take it again. By God's grace and power, he could have service. He could have, by God's grace, he could have power to serve again. He could be effective in the service of God if only he would take it. And he did. Now, here's the point. When God restores a cutting edge to people who've lost it, he still uses the wood of a tree. A tree not wet with water, but wet with blood. The blood of his dear son, Jesus. See, the Bible says, John, 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, can I tell you the word confess means to say the same thing? Homo, same, logeo, to speak, to say the same. To say the same as what? To say the same thing. For me to confess is to say the same thing God has been saying about my sin and my attitude, my heart, and my head all along. He's been saying it. And now when I confess, I say the same thing he's been saying. I just own up. God knows about me, and he's been telling the truth. I'm the one who's been blind and stubborn. When I confess, I say the same thing God has been saying all along. Guess what? If we confess our sins, John continued, he is faithful, reliable. You can count on him. And just to forgive us our sins, forgive means to send away, to get rid of them, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know what it is to be clean. When I was a kid, we used to play outside. I don't know, do y'all play outside anymore? Do you dig in the dirt? Do you throw dirt? Okay, shh. You got relatives who would hear that. Shh. We used to get filthy. You know, we'd play in the sand. I'd have come in the evening. I have sand in my ears and my hair, little sand beads. You remember that, where you sweat under your arms and the crevices of your knees? And we all wore, in my neighborhood, even the guys wore sun suits. These little things that had straps like this, cut right about here, and then they were open in the back down to here. And I used to love to fill up a bucket with sand, sneak up behind one of my friends in the neighborhood, pull that elastic back, and just dump them a whole bucket full of sand right in where buckets don't fit. I don't know how to describe that. Right in on the seat of learning, okay? Sand everywhere, up my nose, in my eyes, around my neck, under my arms, sand, dirt. My mama put me in a wash tub and scrub me. And when I got out of that wash tub, it was like I'd never been outdoors. I'd never even seen the outdoors. I was clean, cleansed from all sand. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so it looked like we'd never sinned. Never even seen a sin, thought about one, or committed one. How does he do that? You back up two verses. That's 1 John 1:9. Back up two verses. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So when God restores a cutting edge, he uses wood. The wood of the tree, the wood of the cross, wet with the blood of the Savior who cleanses us from all sin. If you've lost your spiritual power, you need confession. You need cleansing. And to all who come by way of the wood, the way of the cross, God gives his power. A cutting edge again. Effectiveness in the service of God. Do you miss it? Oh, I know some of you serve so effectively, and I don't have any idea who I'm talking to today, but you would know if you have lost your cutting edge. Don't you miss it? Wouldn't you like to reach out and take it again with a hand cleansed by confession and the blood of Jesus Christ? Can I end by telling you there's a lot of work to do? You know that. There is a lot of work to do in this community, in this nation, in this world. There's a lot of work to do. Every axe must ring. If you've lost your cutting edge, God can restore it. You just have to take a trip to the place where you lost it. Confess and be cleansed and reach out and take that power of God on your life and labor once again. What would it happen? What would happen? What would it mean if every believer, if every Christian, born-again person in this congregation today went out through those doors or these? Today, forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus with a head on their axe handle. Spiritual power, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, working in the Spirit. What would it mean here in Morrisport? What would it mean in Caddo Parish, state of Louisiana, the United States? What would it mean if we all made sure we had heads on our handles? The power of God on our life and our labor. Let's pray. Far from a trivial story, Lord, this strikes home. Periods in my life I've known what it is to use a handle with no head. Thank you, God, for loving me and restoring me. Lord, I speak to people today, some of whom work with effectiveness and have sharp heads on the handles of their axes. Others who seem to work as hard as they ever did, but they know there's a problem because they've lost their spiritual power for this reason or that. Lord God, help us to be honest with ourselves today and help us to be obedient to you and just do what you told us to do, to bring ourselves to confess our failures and our faults and our sins and our shames, to be forgiven and cleansed so you can use us effectively again. We can join in the work knowing the power of God on our life and on our labor. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.